Without the CCIA financing, the project may not otherwise be financed. These funds are meant to fill gaps in the project capital stack.
Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the principal in charge of Baker Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Garrick Gibson, a principal at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started. Since the Inflation Reduction Act was passed in August 2022, so a little over 2 years now, Garrick and I have had numerous discussions on various provisions of the act, starting early on with the increased credits for solar, right? That was one of the first things we tacked and jumped on. Hey, solar is now 30%. There are some adders. Maybe it could be 40. Maybe it could be 50% or higher. Fast forward to 2024, and out came the $27 billion greenhouse gas reduction fund with the three various components. In 2024, Garrick and I hosted a podcast around the $7 billion Solar for All program. And again, this $7 billion program went to 60 recipients across the country. Today, we are excited to highlight another program under the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, focusing on the $6 billion Clean Communities Investment Accelerator that we will refer to today as CCIA. To discuss this program, we've invited into the Buzz House today and very excited about it, our Baker Tilly colleagues, Michelle Eisenhower-Hanlon, a director on our Energy and Infrastructure Advisory Team, along with Joe Marchese, a manager of our Baker Tilly Energy and Infrastructure Advisory Team. Michelle and Joe, thanks very much for joining us today. It's great to have you on. With that, we'll get into an overview of CCIA and what you need to know about the program. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Garrick to kick things off. Garrick?
Yeah, thanks, Don. Thanks for the introduction there. I know we talked about $7 billion. We're now leaning into the $6 billion, and this is going to be a great podcast. Michelle and Joe, for our listeners, before we get started into questions, why don't y'all each give a little summary of your background and what the energy and infrastructure team are working on?
Thanks, Don and Garrick, for having us here on Buzz House today. Joe and I work in Baker Tilly's Energy and Infrastructure Group, as Don mentioned, and that means we're supporting private sector and municipal clients with their energy transition, sustainability, and decarbonization goals and needs. This can mean a lot of things, but in the multifamily housing space, that typically means we're helping clients solve for one of three challenges: reducing operational energy costs, securing resilient and reliable power, or driving towards sustainability goals such as net zero.
And as part of that three-part solution that Michelle mentioned, we help clients understand, obtain, and maximize funding such as grants, incentives, tax credits made available through the IRA, or Inflation Reduction Act, and most recently, funds made available by the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. Our team is able to leverage its background in energy project planning, development, financing, and implementation to guide clients through the sometimes complex landscape of federal funding streams for projects that include clean energy or net zero initiatives. And that's really where we are today, working between lenders and projects to obtain and secure funding within the CCIA program.
All right. Well, thanks for that introduction. Michelle, we'll start with you on our first question. Why don't we start off with like high level and describe what the CCI program is looking to achieve and how these green banks that were allocated the $6 billion, how were they allocated the $6 billion?
Thanks, Garrick. So CCIA is a U.S. EPA initiative that's part of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, that GGRF that Don mentioned earlier. The program allocated $6 billion in grant funding to five hub recipients to then turn and pass that funding through to community lenders working in low-income and disadvantaged communities to capitalize energy projects. This capitalization funding is typically a low-interest loan like bridge loans or gap financing and can be accompanied by technical assistance funding. So under CCIA, capitalization funding to community lenders is typically up to $10 million plus the technical assistance subaward of $1 million per lender.
Very good. Michelle and Joe, maybe a question for both of you, or a couple questions. What types of projects will these dollars be loaned to? And then maybe a follow-up to that is, what qualifies a project to be eligible in the first place, you know, for these dollars?
Right. Projects must fall into one of three categories. Number one, distributed energy systems. So think rooftop solar, geothermal heating, storage, so battery storage, up to 10 megawatts. It has to be green, so you can't use your diesel genset. You have to use a battery or solar to qualify. Second, zero emission transportation. This bucket is more flexible than the 30C tax credit, but the intent is the same: financing electric vehicles and supporting infrastructure. And third, and probably most interesting to most of your listeners, is net zero buildings. Now this breaks down into two sub-buckets: new builds and retrofits. New builds have to be all electric, highly efficient, with an ENERGY STAR score of 75 or higher, and free from emissions. So think green power purchasing. You can purchase power on the market to get the rest of the way to be free from emissions, but you do have to be emission-free totally for a new build. Retrofits, however, have more wiggle room and need to have about a 20% reduction in emissions over the current state with a long-term plan to achieve net zero. So you can get there eventually, but you don't have to get there today. So a few more items I want to note before I turn it over to Joe is that, first, this can be any building. So if you are tuning in and you have some non-housing building assets, these might also qualify. All projects, EVs included, must be in a low-income community. That's called a LIDAC. Handily, Baker Tilly has a mapping tool for that where you can identify whether your project qualifies. Properties providing affordable housing, though, all are automatically qualified under the LIDAC requirements. I'm going to turn it over to Joe to give you a little more detail here.
As well said. In addition to some of those technical components to eligibility, there are a few eligibility requirements that relate to a project's capital stack, the sources of capital being used to finance the project. First, CCIA financing is designed to be additional. In other words, without the CCIA financing, the project may not otherwise be financed. These funds are meant to fill gaps in the project capital stack. A project must also mobilize private capital, meaning that the capital stack must include funding sources coming from private sources of financing. Think banks, loan funds, tax credits, grants from non-governmental sources, other incentives such as utility incentives. And then, as Michelle mentioned, affordable housing projects are also qualified under LIDAC rules. So a good example project would be a net zero affordable housing property that includes components such as rooftop solar, geothermal heating and cooling, electric water heating, et cetera. We could go on. A project like this may be able to leverage CCIA financing in conjunction with other funding streams, such as a low-income housing tax credit, private capital, and other tax credits associated with the solar and geothermal systems to fill any remaining gaps in that project's capital stack. The value and use of this low-cost CCIA financing lies in the fact that it may lead to a lower overall cost of capital and increased returns for your project.
That's great, Joe and Michelle. And I think one thing our listeners will be very excited about is that one of the things you mentioned is we can keep stacking these incentives on, right? If you have the solar, the geothermal, now maybe CCA could be a source in addition to all the many other sources. So a very important point there. Joe, I've got another question. How do these dollars, we talked about the dollars getting, you know, the $6 billion going to the green banks, how do they ultimately get to you, you know, down to the project level?
It's a great question, Don. We like to think about this program as a hub and spoke model. There are five hub non-for-profit entities that each receive between $400 million and about $2.3 billion in grant funding from the EPA. These hubs are currently sub-awarding up to $10 million in capitalization funding and $1 million in technical assistance, as Michelle mentioned, to eligible community lenders. These we're calling the spokes. This subaward process works through a competitive application and a grant. Eligible community lenders include community development financial institutions, CDFIs, credit unions, green banks, housing finance agencies, and other types of lenders. The awarded community lenders will then lend these dollars to eligible projects. And that's where things start to look a little bit more traditional for your listeners. Sponsors will see a fairly typical loan application and underwriting process with their local CDFI. Now, the value of this model lies in the fact that these lenders are well aware of the needs of their communities and can provide tailored and flexible support based on those identified needs. So instead of a one-size-fits-all centralized funding program that we're all used to seeing, this model allows for enhanced flexibility in the types of financial products that are provided to qualified projects.
Thank you, Joe, for that. And so further discussion on this. So if CDFIs are receiving these funds and they're responsible for sort of dishing it out to specific projects. So Joe and Michelle, whoever wants to start first, what can CDFIs and projects be doing to ready themselves to potentially receive this funding?
Yeah, I could start at the CDFI level. All this really starts with developing a competitive CCIA business strategy that aligns with the CDFI's overall mission. Now, this strategy should include an identification of both the CDFI's target market for these funds, i.e., what projects do they want to finance, and the needs of the community being served. How will these funds drive impact? CDFIs are inherently mission-driven and are well aware of the ongoing needs of their traditionally underserved communities. So a key step is building the bridge between their mission, their traditional lending practices that flow from that mission, and how lending within the construct of the CCIA program may promote said mission. Now, this strategy building exercise will allow CDFIs to land on their proposed lending plan and technical assistance needs, which they can then use to complete the subgrant application to one of the hubs. Now, alongside this, a CDFI should start working through various channels and with partners such as Baker Tilly to develop a pipeline of mission-driven, eligible projects that turn this strategy into action. I'll toss it to Michelle to talk about what projects can be doing.
Right. So these funds are gap financing and are meant to stimulate private capital. So there's typically a 3-to-1 private capital to CCIA funding capital stack expectation, but this varies by the hub. Being loan money, however, distinct from grant money available for programs you featured previously, like Solar for All, there's no impact on the LIHTC basis. Hubs are working hard to get through their initial capitalization rounds, and so money should start flowing to round one recipients as early as this quarter. Subsequent funding rounds happen quarterly, semi-annually, or on a rolling basis, depending on the hub. And one would anticipate, with $6 billion, a huge challenge for these community lenders that are going to be applying for hub money is finding low-risk investments that will be shovel-ready sometime in the next 6 to 18 months. So hubs are still working to sort out how to be the best matchmakers, but working through partners like Baker Tilly can, or your local CDFI can help align your project with a community lender recipient serving your respective market that has or qualifies for CCIA funding.
Perfect. That was a lot of great information, and that's it for this episode of The Bus House, talking with our colleagues Michelle and Joe to get an overview of the CCIA program. Again, please reach out to Joe, Michelle, Garrick, and myself if you have a project which you think may qualify, if you're a CDFI that are interested in learning more about it. And once again, I'm Don Bernards.
And I'm Garrick Gibson. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at buildabakertilly.com. That's BUILD@BakerTilly.com. See you next time on Buzz House.